Ephesians 6th chapter. The theme of Ephesians is the amazing saving grace of God and the life that is activated by such. The book is easily divided into two main parts. Chapters 1 through 3, you have the miracle of salvation or the miracle of grace. Chapters 4 through 6, you have the life that follows. And whenever the Lord saves a soul, there is a life that follows. So as is Paul's pattern in almost all of his letters, he states the theological, and then he follows that up with the practical. So in chapters 1 through 3, we see the blessings of salvation, how salvation comes about. He closes that section in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, with a prayer for those who have been saved by God's grace, which leads into the practical portion of the letter. Chapters 4 through 6, he begins chapter 4, verse 1, with therefore. That is, looking back on what he had previously said. He said, therefore, walk worthy. That is, in a becoming and suitable manner of the vocation or the calling wherewith you're called. What he's saying is, considering what God has done for you in saving your soul, considering the state and condition that he has called you to, he now says, I make earnest request that you behave, that you act, that you conduct and carry yourselves in a way that is in harmony with what the Lord has done for you. And that's always so of you and I that are saved. He's calling upon them to live a life that corresponds to the miracle of salvation that had taken place in their lives. We want to read tonight verses 18 through verse 20. Chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. And this is the closing part of the second portion of the book. And what we read here is a part of the life that we are to be living. And it's a life of prayer. Our lives ought to be marked by prayer. And we see this is in the context of the fact that we are warriors in a spiritual warfare. So I want to speak tonight on warriors in prayer. Warriors in prayer. Before we get into the verses that we read for our text, we want to look at the context and the setting of these verses, which will take us back to verse 10. And this is where the context of the text begins. He says, finally, or in summary. So he's summarizing. My brethren. And beginning here and leading into our text, the thought that is presented is one of warfare. So the setting is a warfare. Not just a common warfare, but this is an extraordinary warfare. Now, there's something that is absolutely necessary if we are going to be engaged in this war. And he states this in verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be," okay, again, present tense, speaking of the state that they were to continually be in. This is not doing something, it is becoming something. He says, be strong. Be enabled is what that simply means. Be enabled. Have ability. Be ye strengthened. Be ye enabled. Be ye continually strengthened. Be ye continually enabled. And then he goes on and he speaks of the quality of this strength in the Lord. Be ye strong in the Lord. Now that tells us something about this strength. It tells us that it's spiritual strength. Be strong in the Lord. But it also tells us that the Lord is the source of this strength. This is not a strength that you and I can work up. It is a strength that is in the Lord. He goes on to further express this. He says, and in the power, or in the force of His might, of His ability. So, be ye continually enabled in the Lord, and in the power or the force of His ability. So we're talking about the Lord's ability. That is our strength. Again, this states the quality of the strength. This states the source of the strength needed. It is really the active force of the Lord Himself upon us. In Ephesians 1, verse 19, we read the working of His mighty power. And that's what it means to be strong in our text, is to be impacted, to be under the influence of the working of His mighty power. Now, a part of this necessity, again, the necessity is be strong, be spiritually enabled, have the Lord's ability upon our lives. And a part of this, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able. That's enablement again. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able. So part of this being strong involves this armor of God that we're to put on, that we're to take on. So that's the necessity. The necessity is we have to have this strength. Without this strength, you cannot fight this battle. That brings us to the duty of the warfare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to. So an ability to do something. To stand. To stand. To stand is a position. It's a position. To stand in the Bible speaks of alertness. It speaks of a readiness. It speaks of a firmness. But notice what he says. That you may be able to stand against. That you may be opposed to a direction opposite, an opposite motion. Stand against. And then he mentions something specific. Again, this is going to take the strength of the Lord. The wiles, or the tricks and the schemes and the maneuvers of the devil. That's the enemy. The wiles of the devil tells us a lot about the devil. He has schemes. And in verse 13, we see that ye may be able, there it is again, ability, to withstand. Two different things. Stand, withstand. Withstand, of course, means to resist. The implication immediately is that we're under attack. The implication is that there is the onslaught of that comes from the enemy. So we have what is absolutely necessary is the strength in the Lord and in the power of His might. And this enables us to our duty, which is to stand and withstand. Then he goes on and he, in verse 12, mentions something about the character of this warfare. He says, for, meaning because, the reason you ought to put on this armor of God so that you can stand, or so that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, is for we wrestle against, and then he goes on. But as far as the character of this warfare, it is we wrestle. Again, it's present tense, ongoing, continually. We wrestle. Wrestle involves individuals. It's an individual thing. So this is an individual warfare. We wrestle. But it also tells us that it is a close encounter. It's not we're shooting missiles, but we wrestle. So it is a very close encounter, which tells us something about, again, the nature of the enemy. The enemy seeks to get close. And in wrestling, you take hold of an individual to bring them down. And so it is here. We're in a wrestling match, and the enemy seeks to get a grip, to grab hold, in order to take down the individual. That's the war we're in. We wrestle. Then notice the nature of this warfare. It's stated, first of all, from the negative in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is, we're not wrestling against that which is fragile. We're not wrestling against that which is weak. We're not wrestling with that which is equal to us. We're flesh and blood. But we're not wrestling with something equal to us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against something that is superior and that excels us in strength. That's why this special strength is needed. And again, we need to get a hold of this truth. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And that statement really causes us to see and feel the urgency of what was stated in verse 10. Well, he proceeds to describe the nature of the warfare from the positive. And he uses the word against 4 times in verse 12. Against, implying an opposition. He did not just say, for we wrestle but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. He could have done that grammatically, but he made sure he put in the word against every time, stressing again this opposition. We wrestle against principalities. Principalities, that speaks of the rank and rule of demons But it speaks of an organized force. They are an organized force. They are an organized enemy. He goes on, he says, against power or powers, which speaks of the authority of the demons. They have some authority. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That speaks of the demons' control over a world that is in revolt against God. This is who our warfare is against. And then he goes on to mention against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, denoting an organized army of demons. And it's a spiritual enemy. They're in the heavenlies. It's not an enemy that you can see. You can see the results, the consequences, but you do not see a demon. But they're everywhere. And this is our opponent in this war. So it is a spiritual war against the forces of hell. Today, there are an awful lot of God's people who make light of demons or who do not believe in demons. That's one of the wiles of the devil. Demons are very real. And I believe demons are more active now than they've ever been, even more than they were in Christ's day. People ask, do you believe in demon possession? I most certainly do. I believe a large portion of the world is demon possessed. And I believe, again, all you have to do is study what demons do in the Word of God and look around and you see the same things being done. But that's not our subject. This is followed by verse 13, wherefore, because our battle is against demons, wherefore? So it looks back to what is stated in verse 12, which also stresses the importance of the armor of God. And then notice, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that. This states the purpose or the result of taking on the armor of God, that you may be. That is, you may come to a state of being or continuance, that you may be able, continually able. People say all the time, well, we're not able to do that. God called you to do it, you're able to do it. You just need the strength that is in the Lord. So that you may be able. To be able is to have power sufficient to meet the task. What is the task? We wrestle against principalities. We have this war against spiritual beings. That you may be able to withstand. Again, a position of resistance without surrender, suggesting that we are the object of attack. The very word withstand suggests that we are the object of attack. We're not doing the attacking here. We are the object of attack. I don't want to get off track here. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That is the actual day of attack. And having done all to stand. Having done all to conquer, and how do we do that? By being strengthened in the Lord and putting on the God-supplied armor. That's how, when we do that, we've done all in order to conquer. And that brings us to the central activity of the warfare. Leading into our text, verses 18 through 20, we have verses 14 through 17. And in those verses, you have the God-provided armor described piece by piece. So notice, verse 14, stand therefore. The therefore looks back to verse 13. Having, that is maintaining, possessing. And then he proceeds to mention a spiritual girdle called truth. A breastplate made of righteousness. Shoes that are called the preparation of the gospel of peace. A shield that is called faith. A helmet that is called salvation. In addition to all of that, there is a sword called the Word of God. And then we read, verse 18, praying. Put on all this armor, and then verse 18, praying. Now, that's not a piece of the armor that you put on. It's more than that. Praying. It's a verb. It's something we do. It's present tense. It's continual. Praying, though not a piece of the armor, is woven into the armor. It is essential to each piece of the armor. So you have the armor described, verses 14 through 17, and then you come to praying. Praying. So here's how I believe this is the idea. Having your loins girt about with truth. Praying. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Praying. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praying. Take the shield of faith. Praying. And take the helmet of salvation. Praying. Take the sword of the Spirit. Praying. Though not mentioned as a piece of the armor is not complete without this word, praying. So I believe this is the most essential thing. They all work together. Praying. So as warriors in this warfare, oh, how we need to be praying. We need to be a praying people. I'll just tell you the simple truth. You're not much of a spiritual warrior if you don't. You may think you are, but you're not. If we're not a praying people, we're nothing. Praying. And notice six truths about this praying. Again, it's in the context of this warfare. Everything involved in this warfare, you could put this word right after it. Praying. 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 No matter what else you do, pray. So let's look at six truths regarding this prayer. First of all, the importance of the prayer, of the praying. Verse 18, praying always. Praying always. Always. What does that mean? That means always. Praying always. We are to stand. We are to withstand. We are to wrestle. And we are to do so praying always. As you stand, pray. As you withstand or resist, pray. As you wrestle, pray. Praying always. Never, ever stop praying. I heard a man, it's been a long time, but he said, well, we need to just quit praying and get down to serious business. Well, you don't, what an ignorant statement. Praying is serious business. And it's to be included in everything you do. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray. The word ought, of course, means duty, responsibility. It's an obligation. We ought to. We ought to pray always. Praying is always our duty. It is always our responsibility. It's not our only duty. It's not our only responsibility. It's not our only obligation. But it is always our duty. It is always our responsibility. And it's always our obligation, whatever else we might be doing. Praying always. There's no age limitation. No matter what other responsibilities you have, no matter what your circumstances are, the word is praying always. Always. Male or female, young or old, it is our duty to be praying, and we're to do that always. And we see this taught throughout the New Testament. So again, it is having your loins girt about with truth, praying always. Don't disregard truth, but have the truth, praying always. Have on the breastplate of righteousness, praying always. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, praying always. Taking the shield of faith, praying always. The helmet of salvation, praying always. The sword of the Spirit, praying always. How important is this prayer, this praying? Well, it's so important that we're never to abandon it. We're never to stop. That's pretty important. Praying always. Again, it's not in place of putting on this armor, but it's as you put on the armor and as you stand and as you withstand and as you wrestle, praying always. And I believe that's how we are enabled in our strength to do these other things. But then notice the comprehensiveness of the praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. All prayer. All prayer. The meaning is there's different kinds of praying. We're to pray always in all kinds of praying. There's private prayer. There's public prayer. There's family prayer. There's banding together praying. We're to pray always. Whatever form our prayer might take at a given time, we're to just be praying. Praying. If you band together in prayer, what do you do when another brother or sister is praying? You're to be praying. You're to be praying. It's a prayer band. Everybody's praying. One person's praying out loud. Everybody else should be praying. Praying always. Prayer can involve personal needs. It can involve asking the blessings of God upon us personally or upon others. Praying always. There are planned times of prayer. We're going to meet at such and such a time to pray. So there's planned times of prayer. There's spontaneous praying. Or you just start praying. There's all kinds of praying. But whether it be prayers of thanksgiving, or prayers of confession, we'd pray always. Whether it be kneeling, standing, or lying down. Position is not the issue. The issue is praying. Not whether or not I'm kneeling or lying down or standing. The position is not the issue. The issue is praying. Notice the spirit of prayer. All praying, all prayer and supplication. The word supplication means to humbly entreat or beg. It means to petition with eagerness and submissiveness. It is pouring out the soul to God. So we're to be praying always with supplication, with all prayer and supplication. That is, we're to always be praying with a sense of urgency, with passion, with great concern. You won't find anywhere in the Word of God encouragement to listless effort in praying. It's always fervent. It's always earnest. Then we come to the inward principle of prayer, which is the fourth thing. Notice in the Spirit. Praying always, that is, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, with all prayer, all manner of praying, and supplication, that is, with pleading and earnestness and submission, and do so in the Spirit. That is, under the influence of the Spirit of God. Again, keep in mind, this is in the context of a warfare. Praying always. In the Spirit. It's not something that we can work up in our own hearts. It's not just mere words. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. True praying is the work of the Spirit. Oh, there's people that can publicly pray beautiful prayers, but they may not mean a thing if it's not in spirit. In spirit. So it's not something we work up in our hearts. It's not something we practice. It's not a form. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals to us our needs. And the Spirit of God also reveals the will of God to our hearts. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us to pray. I want to tell you, praying is not easy. It's not an easy thing. And if you think it is, I doubt that you really truly pray. As you really get down to serious praying, the devil's going to be right next to you. There's nothing easy about it. It requires the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to pray. The Holy Spirit is what makes prayer be what it ought to be. The Holy Spirit. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that keeps our prayers from just being merely words or mechanical. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that we put ourselves in our proper place before God. And we come before God as subjects. You don't come to God telling God what to do. We come to God as subjects, willing to lay aside our own will and our own plans for whatever is acceptable to God. What a lot of people do is they decide what they're going to do and then they pray. You've got it backwards. It is by the aid and direction of the Holy Spirit that causes us to humbly come to God. bowing to His will. It is by the aid of the Holy Spirit that we pray with faith, believing that God is able. It is by the aid of the Holy Spirit that our prayers are fervent and effectual. So we must pray in the Spirit. Fifthly, we've already alluded to it, there's the difficulty of prayer. Verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, prayer and supplication, with all, notice he didn't just say with perseverance, with all perseverance, with all perseverance. The very word perseverance implies something difficult. It's a work, it's a labor. With all perseverance. We're to be watching. While we're praying, we're to be watching. With all perseverance. That is, we're to be alert. We're to be watchful. We should be alert and watchful to all those things that would hinder us praying. Be watchful. Be watchful because the enemy is going to attack when you pray. Now, I don't know if the demons get, well, I'm pretty sure they do, get nervous. But they certainly did with the demon-possessed man of Gadara when Jesus showed up. They got nervous. So I believe we could say the demons get nervous. And I believe they do when God's people get serious about praying. And we have to watch because they're going to attack. They're going to do everything they can to prevent us from praying. And then lastly, notice the importance of praying for one another. Notice supplication. Again, that's the spirit of praying. It's begging God. Supplication for all saints. We're each in this warfare. We each have an enemy. It's a common enemy. We each have an enemy that seeks to destroy us. He desires to destroy all of us. But here's how he works. He may have to destroy this person in order to get eventually to you. You need to be aware of that. The devil destroys individuals and you think, I'm safe. You better rethink. The devil destroys individuals. His goal is always to get to you, get to me individually. And he may have to destroy someone else to do that. He knows how to bring us down as well. So we have a common enemy that seeks to destroy us. Therefore, we ought to be making supplication for all saints. Better be careful that you don't get so angry and upset with a child of God that you can't make supplication for them. That's a bad spot to be in. Supplication for all saints. Every single one of us have a sinful flesh that is in rebellion against God living within these bodies. Supplication for all saints. Don't ever think that you're the only one that has a certain type of temptation. You're not the only one. It's not a temptation exclusive to you. It's not a battle that is exclusive to you. There's others. And there have been others. And there will be others who face the same battles. Supplication for all saints. Because we live in a body that is weak. And because we live in a world that is filled with difficulties and temptations. Supplication for all saints. Praying always for all saints. For all saints. Praying for God's people. You may not even know their name, but pray for God's people. For all saints. God's people today are too busy fighting amongst themselves. Don't tell me they're praying for one another. If you're fighting with one another, you'll never convince me that you're praying for one another. Praying always for all saints. And we're to do that, again, while we're doing everything else in this battle, we're to be praying for all saints. We may be engaged in a fierce conflict. Don't forget, while you're engaged in that conflict, don't forget to pray for somebody else who might have just as fierce of a conflict. Pray for all saints. And that's why, again, we've said this many times, if somebody, an individual, you may not have seen the individual for 25 years, but you're driving down the road and all of a sudden this individual just pops into your mind. That's not an accident. I believe that's God telling you to pray for that person right then and there. Pray for them. Well, I don't know what to pray. You just pray, God help them. You've brought them to my mind. You know what they need. I bring them to you. Praying always for all saints. So, in light of the warfare that we're in, who can measure the importance of prayer? And then Paul says in verse 19, after he says praying, make perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me. Paul was in prison at the time. He says, make supplication for all saints and for me. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Brother, I need prayer. Well, what for? Let me tell you something. If they are really going to pray, they don't need to know what for. If they absolutely insist on what for, they're not going to pray, they're going to gossip. And for me. But Paul, of course, is speaking as a minister, and this is a special request of prayer, praying for all the saints and for me. And for me. And he uses the word that to mention his request. His request, there's three of them. Verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me. He's saying, pray for me that the Lord give me the message to speak. Again, that. Different request. I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's in prison. Not only pray for me that the Lord give me the message to speak to these other prisoners and these guards, but pray for me that the Lord would have me to speak as I should speak. And then in verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're in a warfare. There's never been a more fierce warfare. There's never been a war with higher cost than this spiritual warfare. It's always going on. It's always going on. There's never a recess time. It's always going on. And the most important part of this war of course, is to be strengthened in the Lord. And we have all the armor. We have everything we need for this warfare. Everything. But as we put on each part of the armor, praying always. Whatever you do in the service of the Lord, pray. Pray as you're doing it. Pray before you do it. Pray after you do it. Praying always. Always be praying. Never give up praying. Well, I've prayed for that individual for 2 weeks and nothing's happened. First of all, you don't know that nothing's happened. You don't know that. You don't know what God's doing. So you can't make that statement. Well, I'm not seeing any visible results. That's not what it's about. God doesn't always work visibly. God works invisibly. It'll eventually become visible. But you just keep praying. You just keep praying. When do you stop praying for someone? When they leave this life. No need to pray for them anymore. Until then, you keep praying. You keep praying. And if the Lord, maybe the Lord puts a specific individual in your heart every day, that's who you pray for. But we need to, this needs to have a grip on us, praying always. Oh, that we would be a people of prayer. If there was ever a time when God's people ought to be praying, it's certainly the day in which we live. And the best friends you have are those who pray for you. What more can you do for an individual? You ask people all the time, can I do something? And they'll say, just pray. Well, we know what they mean, but it's not just pray. It's pray. Prayer is not a minor matter. It's not a minor significance. It's not insignificant. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray for each other through the week. Pray for each other every day. Pray for the lost. Pray for other saints of God. It may not be in our body. Pray. Always be praying. And it's a blessing when somebody that you have confidence that they do pray and they say, I'm praying for you. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I've had people take offense. I say, I'm praying for you. What do you mean by that? Are you serious? I'll never take offense if you come up to me and say, brother, I'm praying for you. We need to pray for one another. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.